Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're getting into something pretty universal, I think. Starting a new job, that whole induction thing.
Right, but we're not talking trust falls here.
No, definitely not. We're looking at a real trend, especially in frontline roles. Induction programs are getting shorter, much shorter.
And the big question is, are companies actually saving money doing this?
Yeah.
Or is it, you know, creating bigger headaches down the road?
Exactly. And since almost everyone listening has probably been through onboarding at some point, good or bad, this should hit home.
Absolutely. Our goal here is really to unpack this shrinking induction trend. We're using the hidden cost of shrinking induction programs as our main source today.
Yeah, trying to figure out why it's happening, and maybe more importantly, what are the hidden costs for the business, for productivity, for the actual employee experience.
Mm-hmm. And there are some pretty surprising things in there.
Oh, definitely. Like this potential clash between, say, new Gen Z hires and these super short training bursts.
Yeah, and the amount of info that just vanishes. It's kind of staggering, actually, how much people forget from training.
It really is. And the cost when people leave early, that's a big one. So I guess the core question we're wrestling with is smart cost cutting or penny-wise, pound foolish?
Let's dive in. First off, this trend, it's undeniable, right?
Feels like it.
The source points to a really significant drop in how long induction takes, especially in areas like banking, financial services.
Right.
You're seeing programs that used to be maybe 21 days, sometimes more.
Right, like 3 weeks plus.
Now squeezed into 7 days or even less.
Wow, less than a week.
It happens. And look, it's presented as a strategic move. Save time, save upfront costs. Seems logical on the surface.
Yeah, you can see the appeal. Get people out there doing the job faster. Fewer resources tied up in training rooms.
But the source really pushes back on that. It says, hold on, who are these new hires typically?
Good point. What does it say about them?
Well, it highlights that a lot of today's frontline talent is Gen Z. Often fresh graduates, maybe from tier 2, tier 3 colleges.
Okay, so maybe less direct professional experience coming in.
Potentially, yeah. And maybe used to a different kind of learning environment in college, perhaps more customer-focused or supportive. They bring energy, definitely, but maybe not that deep industry grounding right away.
Oh, okay. And this is where the source talks about a systemic mismatch.
Exactly that phrase. You've got these enthusiastic but perhaps less experienced individuals
who might need a bit more guidance.
Being thrown into these really short, intense inductions and then expected to just perform.
Right. Like, here's the manual, page one. Now go operate this complex thing perfectly.
Kind of, yeah. And the outcomes, well, they're not always great, according to the research.
What kind of outcomes are we talking about?
Higher failure rates early on, people struggling, which hits morale naturally.
Yeah, that makes sense. Demoralizing.
Definitely. Productivity takes a hit because, well, they haven't really had the time or support to get truly up to speed.
And the big one for businesses, people leaving.
That's a major consequence. Early exits, within the first few months, people just decide it's not working out.
And the source is clear. This isn't like blaming Gen Z.
Not at all. It frames it firmly as a training design problem. The way we're onboarding isn't matching the needs of the people coming in or maybe the demands of the job itself.
Okay, so why do these super short programs often fall flat? It's not just the time, is it?
Well, time is part of it, but it's also how the time is used. The source suggests they're often just dense with content, but maybe lacking context.
Like just throwing information at people.
Pretty much. Imagine trying to absorb product details, compliance rules, sales processes, customer behavior, the competition, all in, say, 5 days.
Oof, information overload.
Totally. And there's a stat mentioned, I think it was from QuillZoo.com, something like 84% of sales training content is forgotten within 3 months.
84%. Yep. Seriously?
Yeah. Think about that. Most of what's covered in that frantic first week just evaporates.
So the training isn't really building capability. It's just ticking boxes.
That seems to be the argument. It becomes a compliance exercise, an HR checklist, rather than truly enabling someone to do the job well.
Like teaching swimming with diagrams, but no pool time.
Exactly. Which leads to a crucial question. How do we even measure if induction is working? If it's effective.
Right. Attendance numbers don't tell you much.
Not really. The source mentions the Center of Excellence for the Frontline Workforce, that's TMI and Quanta People, and they suggest focusing on three sort of core metrics that really reflect performance.
Okay, I'm interested. What are they? The first one is time to first sale. That sounds very tangible.
It is, especially in sales roles, obviously.
Correct.
But the idea behind it is broader, that first sale or first successful project or first key task completion, it's a psychological win.
Okay. Proof of concept for the employee themselves.
Yeah. Exactly. It shows they understand the basics, they can connect the dots. For something like home loan sales, the average might be, 2.6 to 2.8 months to get that first one.
So nearly 3 months.
Yeah. But good onboarding, effective onboarding, should shorten that significantly, build confidence faster.
Is there data on that?
There is. The source mentions that reps with comprehensive onboarding are productive about 3.4 months sooner.
Wow, 3.4 months sooner. That's huge.
Yeah.
It's not a small difference.
Not at all. It's a massive difference in terms of contribution and, frankly, revenue.
Okay, that's a compelling metric. What's the second one?
The second is called the Role Mastery Index.
A Role Mastery Index. Okay, what does that measure?
This goes beyond just knowing the job description. It's about, can you actually handle the real world stuff, the tricky situations, the nuances.
So competence, not just comprehension.
Precisely. And to measure this, they're using a tool called Mirror.
Mirror. Like reflecting capability.
Kind of, yeah. It's tech-based, uses role simulations. Employees basically test themselves against realistic job scenarios.
Interesting. So self-assessment, but in a simulated environment.
Right. And it tracks progress from just being aware of something all the way to actually applying it effectively. Certification isn't just about sitting through the training. It's about showing you can do it in the simulation.
That feels much more meaningful than a check mark for attendance. It's measuring readiness.
That's the idea, bridging that learning-doing gap much earlier.
Okay, makes sense. And the third metric?
The third one is infant attrition rate.
Infant attrition. Sounds a bit stark.
It refers to people leaving very early on. Usually within the first, say, 3 to 6 months.
That early churn we talked about.
Exactly. High turnover in that period is a huge warning sign. It suggests people feel lost, unprepared, maybe the job wasn't what they expected.
Or the onboarding just didn't set them up properly.
Right. So the theory is, if your induction is truly effective, gives people role clarity, builds that foundation,
yep,
you should see that early attrition drop.
And that's a direct ROI measure for the induction program itself.
Absolutely. And remember that stat? Up to 20% of all turnover can happen in the first 45 days.
Still shocking. 20% in just over 6 weeks.
It really highlights how critical that initial period is. Get it wrong, and people walk quickly.
Which brings us right back to the cost of cutting corners. This reactive cycle the article mentions.
Yeah, that's a really insightful point. Companies see people leaving early
and think, well, they're just going to leave anyway.
So why bother investing heavily in their training?
Right. But it becomes this self-fulfilling prophecy.
Because the poor training causes the poor performance and the lack of confidence.
Which then causes the attrition.
Which reinforces the idea not to invest. Vicious cycle.
Exactly. And the source stresses, this isn't just an HR issue. This is a business risk.
For sure. What are the broader costs it highlights? Beyond just recruitment fees.
Well, there's the lost productivity while the job's empty, the time it takes the new hire to ramp up, the disruption to the team, scald project.
And the reputational damage. Definitely. Both as an employer, bad reviews, word getting out, and potentially the impact on frontline effectiveness if former employees are disgruntled.
And the actual financial hit of turnover. The source put some numbers on that, didn't it?
It did. It mentioned estimates ranging from 100% to even 300% of the replaced employee's salary.
Wow. 1 to 3 times their annual salary.
When you factor everything in recruitment, admin, lost output, training the new person, team impact, it adds up incredibly fast.
So that saving from a shorter induction could cost you vastly more in the long run.
That's the core argument. Penny wise, pound foolish, like you said earlier.
Okay, so if shrinking isn't the answer, what's the path forward, according to this research?
It really calls for a mindset shift. Stop seeing induction as just this administrative hurdle.
And start seeing it as
a key part of your performance strategy, a lever for productivity.
Right. Not just orientation, but acceleration.
Exactly. Well-designed induction doesn't just welcome people, it equips them. It builds skills, knowledge, confidence fast, which hits revenue and retention directly.
So the message to leaders, CHROs, CEOs, is basically, treat this seriously.
Very seriously. See it as maybe the primary lever for getting new hires productive and keeping them. It's an investment, not just a cost line.
And focus on the right things.
Yeah. Measure what matters. Time to contribution, that role mastery idea, keeping people past those first critical months. Optimize the program for success, not just speed.
Build something that helps people win early.
That's the essence of it. Set them up for success from day one.
Okay, so wrapping this up, our deep dive into the hidden cost of shrinking induction programs really seems to show that, well, shorter isn't always smarter.
Not by a long shot. Those apparent short-term savings on time and resources, they can get completely wiped out, and then some, by the hidden costs downstream.
Lower productivity, higher frustration, people leaving.
Yep.
It all adds up.
Mm-hmm. The big takeaway really feels like needing to reframe onboarding. It's not just fluff, it's strategic. It's investing in your talent.
And when you do it right, measuring the right things, it becomes an engine for growth, not a drain.
That seems to be the potential, yes. Transforming it from a cost center to a performance driver.
It definitely makes you think about your own experiences, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You listening, have you been thrown in the deep end? Or maybe you've been on the other side trying to onboard people quickly. How does this land with you?
Yeah, and maybe one last thought to leave people with. Beyond all the metrics, the dollars and cents, what's the human cost?
Good question.
You know, the lost potential, the dent in someone's confidence when they start a job and just feel completely adrift.
Right. That feeling of failure isn't just a statistic.
Exactly. And flip that around. What's the gain, not just financially, but in culture, engagement, everything, when you truly invest in making sure every single new person feels supported, capable, and ready to succeed right from the very start? Something to mull over.